This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
That's it, baby, when you got it flaunted, flaunted!
Hey, it's Sunday night, and you're in the right place, the Taxi Dave Show. Welcome all you Mets listeners. Tough one today. I'm Taxi Dave, and our special guest today will be the president and attorney for the Committee for Taxi Safety. If you live in New York City, you know what that's all about. David Beyer, someone who's been involved in the New York City taxi industry for 30 years. But don't turn the dial. Anybody ever been on an airplane? Well, let me tell you what my rant is going to be about today. Okay? I saved my whole life to travel first class on a plane. And I wanted to do it the cheapest way. So, as you know, I was down in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago for the Jazz Festival. And I found a great deal for first class. But I'd have to leave New York and change planes in Washington. And coming back, New Orleans, I'd have to get on a plane at 5:20 in the morning and change planes in Chicago to come home. Not a problem, right? Wrong. Let me tell you about American Airlines and their wonderful policy about connecting flights. 5:20 a.m. And how long do they tell you you should get to the airport before your plane leaves because of the crowds? 2 hours, right? I get up at 10 to 2 in the morning. Now, this is in New Orleans, folks. It was a late night, as it was. I get to the airport at 3:20. Get to the TSA, and guess what? They're closed. Not even Dunkin' Donuts is open. 2 hours before the flight, the gates are closed. The security's closed. Everything's closed. And there's like 20 people there. We're all looking at each other. What are we doing here? Anyway, get to the gate, and now it's 5 o'clock. We're boarding the plane, and I have this little carry-on. And they stopped me as I get on the plane, and they said, you can't take that on the plane. I said, well, it's a carry-on. That's why they call it a carry-on. Well, the plane's very small, and our overhead compartments don't carry it, so we'll put it underneath, and you'll get it. I said, you know, we have connecting flights. Not a problem. We do this every day. Okay. We had to land at 7:48. At least that's what the schedule said. Okay, from New Orleans to Chicago. As we touch down, this flight attendant announces it's 7:48. We're in Chicago. I'm like, perfect. This is great. Not a problem. 8:25 is the connecting flight. So we have like 35 minutes. We get, and Chicago O'Hare has to be the biggest airport in the world. It takes like 15 minutes to get to the gate. Anyway, we get to the gate, and now we're waiting for the luggage right outside the aircraft. And a lot of people younger than I am, they grab their luggage and they start running to that connecting flight because now it's 7:10. We have 15 minutes. Plenty of time, right? No, not really. I walked as fast as I could. I get to the gate and the gate is closed. It's 8:23, 2 minutes before the flight was supposed to leave. And I'm like, didn't they call ahead and ask to, you know, delay the plane? You know, we have this connection. They wouldn't allow our luggage on. Well, we're sorry, sir. We actually closed the gate 10 minutes before. So at 8:15, they close the gates and don't let you on a plane that leaves at 8:25, which means you have 10 minutes to get your luggage from the connecting flight and get to your flight. It's impossible. They intentionally make you miss your flight. I never heard of anything like that. They intentionally make you miss your flight. There's no way to make it. And I don't even want to go on what happened. So I paid for my first class flight, and, you know, I end up sitting in coach, luckily. just like I wanted. And then you first have to deal with getting your luggage once you get back to LaGuardia. But one interesting thing did happen when I got to LaGuardia. I was online waiting for a yellow cab, and there were no hustlers that approached me. But online, while I was waiting for a yellow cab, I see an arrest being made. They're cuffing two guys, two plainclothes officers and two officers in uniform. And I asked, I said, are those guys being arrested for hustling? And they said, yes, sir. I said, great job, Port Authority. Port Authority is doing a great job. Anyway, we'll be talking. We have some recalls. We'll read your emails and talk about, with David Beyer, some stuff with Uber and surge pricing and illegal cabs. And some of you wanted to talk about DWI and jumpers, so, and autonomous cars. So let's see. First, let me just read a quick emergency notice from the city of New York. This came out. I got it at 7:15. There's a high wind warning, high wind gusts in excess of 40 miles an hour throughout the tri-state area, I guess. But this is for New York City, and they're warning you if you have any problems to dial 911. Doesn't look that bad now, but when this came out, it was blowing up a storm outside. You know, so watch out for those gusty winds, folks. I just figured I'd throw in that public service announcement. Right now with us is David Beyer. As I said, he's been involved in the New York City taxi industry for over 30 years, and he's the president and attorney for the Committee for Taxi Safety. I know that association very well because I actually worked there for a number of years. Okay, in all transparency to let you know. David Beyer, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Hey, David, how are you?
I am fantastic, David. Let's just get down to tax right now. As you know, and I don't have to tell you, Uber is out there in New York City, and they've totally disrupted the New York City transportation industry the way that laws and regulations have set it up to be. I guess I'll start with just asking you about autonomous cars. All right, I read an article that has to do with Lyft, not Uber, and General Motors invested $500 million in Lyft to become a major player in ride-sharing. And GM also said they're going to use its stake in Lyft to support autonomous driving effort, and they want to sell their Chevrolet Bolt electric vehicles. What do you know about autonomous vehicles and Uber?
Well, you've got Uber is actually testing driverless cars in Pittsburgh already. They're on the street, and you can actually see tapes of them on the street. So what's happening is Uber, like in this instance and many other instances, is misleading everybody as to what their intent is, because to them, the drivers are simply a temporary commodity. They're using the drivers now until they can get their self-driving cars onto the street. And I've read articles that have said that the first place those cars are going to be used are in cities as taxis. So for them, the driver is just a replaceable commodity. As soon as these driverless cars are ready, and it's not some far-fetched notion of science fiction that's going to take place 50 years in the future, they're on the streets in Pittsburgh right now being tested. Drivers are going to be replaced. Uber's just using the drivers, and it's misleading the drivers by trying to get them to join Uber right now, because as soon as they are ready, they're going to get rid of all their drivers. They've invested very heavily with that, and they've spent millions and millions of dollars to develop these self-driving cars. So it's just a warning to the drivers out there. You know, as soon as they can, you're not going to be driving for Uber anymore or for Lyft.
But I just heard the other day on another AM radio station, a news station, a commercial that says, come drive for that same company we're talking about, Uber, and we guarantee you $6,000 a month, and if you don't make it, we're going to take it out of our own pocket and pay you. Is that
right? Well, as you know, those guarantees have lots and lots of fine print attached to them. You have to drive a certain number of hours and a certain number of days, and for Uber, their whole goal has been to put the rest of the for-hire industry out of business. So for them, once they're able to do that, if they're able to take all the drivers away from the rest of the industry and there is no other competitors out there, it's not going to cost them more to then pay those drivers those few thousand dollars if they have to, and know that they've got a monopoly on the rest of the industry. There won't be another part of the industry for these drivers to come back to if they're not in business anymore. If the yellow cab industry and the black car industry are all out of business because of Uber and Lyft, once the self-driving cars are on the streets, there's nowhere else for these drivers to go anymore. They've lost their jobs.
Well, you know, it's so funny because Uber, right now, the New York State legislature, the Assembly and the Senate, they're in session, and they're going to be in session this week, I think Monday through Thursday. And Uber is up there talking about it being an economic stimulant, you know, and how it's providing jobs for New York State.
Well, that's absolutely not true. I mean, they haven't backed that claim up with one single piece of factual evidence. In contrast, we actually released a report based on data that indicates that, number one, forgetting the driver jobs right now, which I'll get to in a second, they're going to eliminate all sorts of other jobs. Once you make the drivers expendable, once you have all these part-time drivers, which is what Uber does, puts on the street, the full-time drivers disappear because the full-time driver who needs all the full-time work can't compete with all the part-timers who are out there who are driving for a few hours a week. And Uber has actually stated that 50% of its drivers drive less than 9 hours per week. So you flood the streets with these part-time drivers, you eliminate all the full-time driver jobs, and when you eliminate the full-time driver jobs, you've now eliminated all the office personnel, the dispatchers, the mechanics, the insurance people, all the jobs that surround the taxi industry disappear. So we've calculated, based on data, that not only are they not going to create these 13,000 jobs they're talking about, but there's actually going to be a net loss of probably 10 to 13,000 jobs, not counting the drivers, in upstate New York and Suffolk County and places like that. So Uber makes these claims, and upstate New York obviously is looking for job growth, but their claims aren't backed with anything other than their statement. There's no evidence to support what they're claiming, and there's a lot of evidence to actually support the contrary, which is they're going to destroy jobs, not create jobs.
We're on with David Beyer, the president and attorney for the Committee for Taxi Safety. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Our email address is taxihail@aol.com. We received an email. Isn't it disingenuous to have a price cut while allowing surge pricing? I guess he's referring to Uber. It's more or less playing tricks. If the company claims and expects to increase ridership without changing its surging algorithm, then what is it doing not really a price cut? Then what it's doing is not really a price cut. If the price cut works, there would be an increase in ridership and thus more surging. It's the same amount that the customers would be paying. Kind of that's from Simon. Kind of sounds like he's saying, well, if they're surge pricing and they say they're lowering their prices, it's like a shell game.
It's a shell game to the public, but to the drivers, it's actually hurting the drivers. I mean, Uber is trying to convince everybody that a price cut, taking money away from the fares, is good for the drivers, which is ridiculous for the drivers because they just simply have to work longer hours to earn the same money they were earning previously. To the public, it is a shell game because they lower the prices, but then they increase the surge prices. And, you know, during surge times, they increase the prices. So for the public, it's not a decrease. Overall, they're paying the same. And for the drivers, they're earning less. They just have to work longer hours. You know, in contrast, in the taxi industry, the yellow segment especially, you don't have that. You know, the fares are set by the TLC. We can't cut those fares. Leases are transparent. We have lease caps. We can't take a percentage more than we already are from drivers. It's all fixed. And so a lot of the problems that these Uber drivers are now having are not in the taxi industry, and the regulations have taken care of that years ago. So our doors are open to the drivers who want to come back. Drivers who are complaining about all the things that Uber are doing, about making them work longer hours, they don't have that problem in the taxi industry. And you know, I know Uber keeps claiming that, you know, drive an Uber car, be your own boss, but that came from the taxi industry, especially in the Dove segment where you buy your vehicle. You always were able to work the hours and the days you wanted, and you could hire and retain second and third drivers to work for you. Now, even in the in the Shift side of the taxi industry, TLC has changed its regulations so you don't even have to drive 12-hour shifts anymore. You can drive less time. You can pick the hours you want to drive. And so the problems that the Uber drivers are having and complaining about, they don't exist in the yellow industry, and we welcome those drivers to come back.
Oh, so you do think that drivers who have been put out of a job will be coming back to drive yellow or maybe even green?
We hope so. I mean, we have we know one of the problems that exists right now is that Uber has locked a lot of the drivers into these long-term leases where they're paying $55,000, $60,000 for a Camry.
Can you say that again?
Yes. We've seen Uber leases where they've had for 173 weeks, you pay $399 a week for an Uber for a Camry, and they take some money out of that.
You mean there's no cap on what they can charge on a vehicle like there is with the yellow cab?
There is no cap. They charge what they want. The leases aren't transparent, and they lock you into these horrendous leases, these unconscionable leases, and that's what makes the driver stay there. So what we have, we just submitted a petition to the Taxi Limousine Commission to try to get the Camry reapproved as a car for use in the yellow taxi industry. So hopefully, if they do that, the Uber drivers who are unhappy can come back into the yellow industry with that car, paint it yellow, and be able to put it back out on the street as a yellow cab.
Okay, and why would they want the Camry? Is that because it's fuel efficient?
Right, it's a much more fuel efficient car. It's been the car of choice for the last couple of years. A hybrid Camry is a car that doesn't need a lot of maintenance. It's a tested car, and drivers tend to like it, and passengers like it. So, unfortunately, the TLC removed that from its approved car list for the yellow industry. We put in a petition to try to get it reapproved.
All right, we're going to do some recalls when we come back in a little bit. But if you drive a Nissan Murano or a Maxima or a Toyota RAV4 or a Lexus 350 or any of those vehicles, I think you should stay tuned. And also some Camrys and Avalons, believe it or not, and also some of those big Escalades. But we'll get to that in a little while. Our email address, as I said, is taxihail@aol.com, 800-321-0710 on the live Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Here's an email from Tommy. Arrow and Way to Ride especially, but garages, brokers, owners, and even drivers need to put more money into advertising. We can't only advertise on the Taxi Dave Show and on the back of MTA buses and on the tops of cabs. We need ads on billboards throughout the city and at the airports and on TV and radio and airline magazines, social media, and pop-up ads that we all hate on our apps and social media. And that's from Tommy. Thank you, Tommy. Cost a lot of money to do that kind of stuff. Billboards and TV and radio and airline magazines, and you're dealing with a company that claims to be worth $50 billion. And here you have an industry. Yeah, it's true. You know, there's a handful of medallion owners who own a lot of medallions, but the overwhelming majority of medallion owners own one medallion. They're small business owners. And these are the guys who are really getting hurt with what's going on. Right, Dave?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, Uber, as you said, it's actually got a valuation of over $60 billion now.
What's $10 billion between friends?
And so they're able to spend corporate millions on, as they just said, doing whatever it takes, as an example, to get a state license bill passed up in Albany. But, you know, everybody's got to be smarter than that. We have very responsible, some very good elected officials, and they should take a look at what happened in Austin, Texas, just recently, which, if your listeners don't know, in Austin they passed a regulation that required Uber and Lyft drivers to be fingerprinted. Safety concern. How do you oppose it? Well, Uber and Lyft did. And so when that regulation passed, they pulled out of the city. They don't provide service in that city anymore. Just because they're worth billions doesn't mean they should get a pass on safety. And our elected officials in Albany should understand that, too, because the state licensing bill that's being proposed would also not require Uber drivers to be fingerprinted. The billions of dollars that Uber is worth, the millions of dollars they spend on advertising, shouldn't absolve them of having to obey common sense regulations like fingerprinting. That's a public safety issue, and there's simply no justification for them doing it. And so advertising is great. We'd love to be able to compete with Uber. They've got more money. It's easier for them to do it. But it comes down to the publicly elected officials. That's where we need to make our case, and they need to understand that all the billions in the world doesn't excuse Uber from obeying regulations.
Funny you mention Austin. Here's an email I received. Lyft and Austin are a perfect match, and we want to stay in the city. Unfortunately, the rules passed by city council don't allow true ride-sharing to operate. Instead, they make it harder for part-time drivers, the heart of Lyft's peer-to-peer model, to get on the road, and harder for passengers to get a ride. Because of this, we have to take a stand for a long-term path forward that lets ride-sharing continue to grow across the country and will pause operations in Austin. And that's on Monday, May 9th.
Right.
I received that in the email. So that's what's happening across the country. One of the things, anyway.
Right. I mean, safety is something that shouldn't be second to any other concern. And as I said, there's just no excuse. There's no justification not to have their drivers fingerprinted. I mean, for the public, it really is about whose car you're getting into. You got to make sure these are professional drivers. You got to make sure they haven't been drinking all night. You have to make sure that these guys don't have criminal records, and if they do, that you're aware of them so you can make sure that they're safe. You know, in the taxi industry, you know, you got to put your hack number in to turn the meter on. For an Uber driver, he can give the car to his friend. You don't even know whose car it is, who's driving the car. There's just no excuse for not following safety regulations. It's an unreasonable position, and it's an unreasonable ask to ask the state legislature in Albany to pass a state hail license without having safety regulations built in to protect the public.
Speaking of DWI, listen to this. Don't drink and drive. You know, no one should consume alcohol or illegal drugs or prescription drugs while you're operating any type of vehicle. Okay? And if you are driving, don't ever confront a driver that's obviously drunk while intoxicated. Okay? If you're transporting an intoxicated person, be patient, because remember, they had the sense not to drive and to take a taxi. Just remember that, okay? Okay, we have a number of phone calls here. Charbel, you're first on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening, Mr. David. I do appreciate your time on Sunday night. I do have a couple issues to talk about. First of all, Verifone, they did very bad job on upgrading the system. It is very slow, and if someone paying with the credit card $5, $6 and up, they got to make them sign. How do I know that person, maybe he stole that credit card? I cannot ask him for his signature or his ID. This system, they did upgrading on it. It is very, very slow. And one more thing. On May 10th, I took a job at 1:15 in the Soho to Chinatown. Was $5.80. Tip number was 3062. The guy put tip for me on his cell phone. And it did show on the back screen, but did not show on my screen and the meter. And there is some kind of trick, some kind of games going on with Verifone. It's been going on like that for so many, for long time. People, they see it in the back. They put a tip. They show me in the back. Hey, look, I put tip in the back, but doesn't show on your screen. That's something Verifone, they need to look at, and Taxi and Limousine Commission, because this is some kind of fraud what they are doing.
Thank you for your comment, Charbel. Email from Sekou. Keep it up. Let's persevere. Let's see. From Pat. I've driven the Camry and the Nissan MV200, the Taxi of Tomorrow, and the Camry is a lot better from this driver's perspective. Thank you, Pat, for that email. Appreciate it. Here's an email. I strongly feel the whole driverless car story is hype job for Uber et al. To make it seem like investors will get their money back with a new gizmo versus going public and showing their books. The driverless cars are also very dangerous and are very easy to hack into and crash from an external source. There There's also a very, very serious problem for security and weird passengers and high-risk packages that can be transported in driverless cars. Thanks, and great show. That's from JFK Mike. Appreciate the email. Speaking of what Charbel was talking about, this is from Mohammed. Within the past couple of months, I've had passengers that jump out of the vehicle, refuse to pay. This can lead to a violent confrontation causing bodily harm. This has been accepted practice by our industry. However, with today's technology, we can eliminate this from reoccurring. App companies have capitalized on a prepayment system. So why can't we get prepayment from some of the passengers? A down payment before the ride if cash is the only option? A driver should issue a receipt of a down payment. Passenger credit cards on file through a secured system to avoid identity theft. And a secure universal system that identifies repeat offenders before they jump out of a taxi cab. I want to thank you, Mohammed, for that email. Emails are coming in. Let's see. Let's take our next caller. That's Bob. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Lord Dave. I've missed you for the past couple of weeks. I hope you had enjoyable. I hope you had an enjoyable couple of weeks. I know this thing here with the Uber and the driverless cars and everything. Like I said, science fiction. I read that back when I was a child with Robert Heinlein. The thing is that the cars can be and are very susceptible to electronic things, as people already realize. And the thing is that if you have a CB radio, you can stop the thing dead in its tracks. And that's the whole problem. With
really?
Yeah.
You have a CB radio, you can stop a driverless car. By the way, folks, I should have explained, autonomous means a driverless car. There's no driver. It drives itself.
Yeah.
So you're saying right now there are easy ways to stop the vehicles themselves, huh?
Yeah.
Bob, you should know. How long have you been around this industry?
I've been on and thing with transportation by 40 years, learned a few things in the process.
Hey, Bob, thanks for bringing that to our attention. Certainly appreciate it. Let's take one more call before the break. Frank, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave. LASIK eye surgery. I had it about a couple of weeks ago.
Well, there's a segue. How are your hemorrhoids? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But, for 55 years I had glasses. Now I got 20/20 vision, which makes it easy to see a relative I want to avoid across the street.
Is this a joke session, or are we talking here about serious stuff? Come on.
No, it's serious, Dave, and you got to get it done by the people that are very reputable. WOR, 7:10 a.m., advertised for Dr. Della Russo. I went to them and had it done.
Great.
Yeah, it's a thrill, Dave. Yeah,
when he advertises on the Taxi Dave Show, we'll give him some free airtime. What are your comments about what Dave Beyer was talking about?
What was that? Excuse me. I was listening, so just give me a little head start here. Autonomous cars, driverless cars.
That's the end game. And the drivers, part-time drivers are replacing full-time drivers.
I don't think of that as happening. It's too complex a city. Things happen. Bang. So if somebody smacks the back of your car and falls down, things happen, in the car. People have to be there. The authorities have to be there. This has to be managed by the human race.
But Mr. Beyer says they're already testing driverless cars in Pittsburgh today.
And they're also testing cars out in California, but the taxi cabs are actually out in Pittsburgh being tested as taxi cabs.
Maybe in some places, Dave, it's going to work in some resort areas, it's going to work in some places where they have a lot of room. They'll make their money, Dave. They're not worried about making money. They're not going to take over the big cities.
Don't put your head in the sand.
Where they want to go. They want to go into the big cities. They're just testing in Pittsburgh, and then it's going to hit. If you read the articles, they all say the first place these cabs are going to be, these autonomous cars are going to be, self-drivers, are going to be in the cab industries in the big cities. That's what they
say. And the police are going to be out there with their hand up to say stop, and the car knows enough to stop, and stuff like that, or...
They've got the technology now, the radar technology that they all have for stopping cars.
You know, when you're changing lanes, they signal you now. The cars already have the technology. They're just perfecting it so that you don't need the driver in the car anymore. And they're there. They've been testing these cars. The cars that have been tested, they've been tested for hundreds of thousands of miles already. And the only accidents that occur have occurred because of human error. Other cars that have caused the accidents, not the self-driving cars. So this is not some science fiction story. I mean, You can check it out on the internet. It's all there. You can check out articles. It's all there.
Frank, thanks for calling the Taxi Dave Show. Certainly appreciate it. When we come back, we'll take some more of your calls. Our number is 800-321-0710. Our email address is taxihale@aol.com. And people talk about New Orleans. You know, do you think that's a drinking town? Well, listen, I was in this bar, and one older fella and one younger fella are having an argument at the bar, all right? The older fella yells at the younger fella and says, "I slept with your mother." And the whole bar gets quiet, and everyone looks to see what's going on. Then he yells again, "I slept with your mother." The young guy stands up, puts his hand on the other guy's, the older fella's shoulder, and says, "Dad, you're drunk. Go home." And on that note, the Taxi Dave Show will be right back. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. Stay tuned.
If the relationship that you have with your bank is the third teller from the left, then maybe it's time to rethink your relationships. At Melrose Credit Union, they believe you should get much more from a banking relationship. That's why they provide their members with a business services specialist, a dedicated individual who takes the time to get to know you and who is responsible for handling every single interaction you have with the credit union. So you can continue to wait for teller number three or head over to Melrose Credit Union. They look forward to getting to know you.
Gifford Insurance Company is located at 3601 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York. Gifford has served the for-hire industry for over 20 years. We are very proud to meet your commercial auto, workers' compensation, and fire, theft, and collision needs. Please visit our website for additional information at HerefordInsurance.com, www.HerefordInsurance.com, or contact us at 718-361-9191. Hereford Insurance, we help move New York. My father drove a yellow cab with Neil Greenbaum's father, Andy, who was the founder of All Taxi Management. FHV drivers, you can drive a yellow cab if you join the All Taxi family. Drive yellow and earn green. All Taxi Management is located at 4125 36th Street in Long Island City, and that's conveniently located near the 7 train. All Taxi is the leader in taxi leasing, run by third-generation taxi experts. And for no money down, you can own a new 2016 hybrid or a great used vehicle. Whether you want to drive full-time, a day shift, or night shift, work with the folks who have a great reputation. All Taxi Management, 718-361-0055. Berlin Brokerage is one of New York's oldest and largest insurance brokers, specializing in all forms of TLC insurance. They represent many insurance companies for black cars, luxury and car service vehicles, medallion taxis, and green cabs, so you can be assured that you will get competitive pricing. You can get your TLC required liability insurance as well as fire, theft, collision, and workers' compensation coverage. Pearland can also help you with your personal and other commercial insurance. For your convenience, Pearland has 6 offices located throughout the city. To find their locations and hours of operation, visit their website at pearlandbrokerage.com. For all of your insurance needs, go to Pearland.
Come on, baby, let's go downtown. Let's go, let's go, let's go downtown. Come on, baby, let's go downtown. Let's go, let's go, let's go downtown.
Taxi Dave Show is back. It's Sunday night, and this is the place to be, WOR 710. Downtown, let's go downtown. You know, there's more than 6,000 miles of streets in New York City. And recently, Mayor de Blasio added $242 million, that's $250 million, for road resurfacing in all 5 boroughs. This is the most work that's been done in resurfacing in 25 years. And as you people know, have been stuck in traffic. Each weeknight, there are about a dozen crews working on milling and resurfacing throughout the city. Here's some Taxi Dave news for you. Now, we told you about this a year ago, and we've been following up, and it finally happened. The beginning of suspensions for 575 New York registered vehicles as part of New York State's crackdown on persistent toll violators. The vehicles are alleged to have violated the regulations if they fail to pay tolls, fees, and other charges five times on different days over an 18-month period. And that applies to all New York City crossings. And prior to suspensions taking effect, the Department of Motor Vehicles sends a letter out to them notifying them unless they pay, you know, 45 days they'll be suspended, or they have a chance to contact Easy Pass. It's being made real easy for them, and they still have 575. And this is regardless if it's the Port Authority tolls, the New York State Thruway Authority tolls, and the New York and New Jersey Metropolitan Transit Authority bridges and tunnel facilities as well. So that's going on. Also, in Taxi Dave news, now we're going to pass on the nail salons for right now. But here's an email. Questions. If New York City is the greatest city in the world, then why are the roads, especially in Manhattan, so terrible for driving? And that's leading to the drivers to have higher maintenance costs. Why the endless construction all over the city? For this reason, New York City looks ugly. People from all over the world visiting New York City every day, it looks ugly. Does New York City realize about these people and what they will think about New York City? And that's from Abul Khan. Thank you for that email. Well, they're resurfacing, but I think you're talking about, you know, whether it's the phone company or the gas company, Con Ed, they don't care. They don't care what time of the day, what streets they close. And when we had Sam Schwartz on, Gridlock Sam, he said he would arrest them for closing streets in the middle of the day. It just shouldn't be done. All right, our phone number is 800-321-0710. We're on with David Beyer, the president of the Committee for Taxi Safety. And we're speaking about something we haven't spoken about in a very long time. Uber! What a surprise! And our email address is taxihail@aol.com. It's funny how many people prefer to send in emails. And but if you're pulled over and you can call, call. We'll take your calls right now. In fact, Ben, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show. Oh, just found out we lost Ben. Too bad. Call back. The Thruway Authority proposed to borrow $850 million to support the replacement of the Tappan Zee Bridge. And they're not detailing any plans for a toll increase, which seems imminent. Okay? The bridge is funded by $1.6 billion in a federal loan, a $750 million appropriation from a one-time financial settlement stuff from 2015, if you recall the money that the state made, and also a similar $700 million appropriation approved by New York State lawmakers earlier this year. So they're looking to borrow $850 million, and no one's talking about toll increases at the Tappan Zee Bridge. And by the way, that's coming along very well. Okay, nope. No, can't read that email, folks. Sorry. Only clean emails, please. You know, this is a family show.
David, so, I can make a couple more points about Uber, if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm just going to, let me read some recalls.
Okay.
But you know what, since you're my guest, let's get back to Uber, and then I'll do the recalls and some other news a little later. But,
okay.
And then I have some questions for you about Uber, too. So what would you like to tell our listeners?
Okay, two more points. Specifically, number one is that, you know, Uber still doesn't provide any accessible service anywhere. I mean, in New York City, they have over 30,000 cars on the road. Not one of them is accessible.
That's worth repeating, David. Last I heard was 36,000. Maybe they're 40,000 already. Who knows?
Right.
What people need to know is that yellow cabs, every day, more yellow cabs are becoming wheelchair accessible, correct?
Correct. 50% mandate.
That's right. By 2020, half of every yellow taxi fleet in New York City, or half of the cabs in New York City, will be wheelchair accessible. And I remember when this first started about 15 years ago, the disabled community said, I want to be able to go out on the street and instead of waiting for one out of 100 cabs, or actually one out of 1,000 cabs that's wheelchair accessible, you know, give me a 50-50 shot of getting an accessible fare. Why are you discriminating against us? So if they felt we were discriminating against them, it sounds pretty obvious that Uber's discriminating against them.
Absolutely. And Uber is trying to, what Uber is doing, of course, is it's referring it's the people who want wheelchairs to the yellow cab industry, but they're trying to put us out of business. Very self-defeating. It's amazing that that's their answer, is go to the industry. They're trying to put out an industry to provide the wheelchair service they refuse to provide, not only in New York City, but across the entire country.
So let me ask you a question on driverless cars. Let's assume there's a driverless wheelchair accessible Uber car. They said, okay, we're going to get accessible cars. How does a driverless car pick up a passenger in a wheelchair that's not motorized?
It can, and that's the other reason why drivers should be driving yellows, because we always are going to need drivers, and we're the ones who want the drivers. We're not the ones cutting their fares. We're not the ones making them work longer hours. We want the drivers, and with an accessible car, you're going to need a driver.
All right, the phone calls are pouring in. JFK Mike, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yes, first of all, great show. I'm glad you're on the air, and I'm glad the Mets put up David Wright to pinch hit in the ninth. That kind of like guarantees that you'll be on the air tonight. David Wright couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. I'm sorry, did I say that? I apologize. Listen, real quick with the Uber-ectomy, as I've called it many times. First of all, thanks for reading the thing about the driverless car, and I couldn't help notice that a rapid response sounding guy called in immediately to say, "Oh no, the driverless cars, the driverless cars." Listen, I think that I call them funding geeks. I think there's all this hysteria about driverless cars, but what it comes down to, people like talking to a cabbie, and I think our only defense against driverless cars is to make sure our drivers keep their standards high. Because I've had people complaining in my yellow cab, the Uber refugees are coming back into the yellow cabs. Because the Uber drivers are horrible, and they realize the yellow cabbies aren't that bad. So if we can maintain the standards of yellow cab drivers, all the other stuff will go down the drain. Because everybody loves a good cabbie, and we have to resist the temptation to just go out and get fly-by-night cabbies. Because they did that back in the 80s, and it was a complete mess. And we have a good crew of thousands of yellow cabbies who know where they're going, and we have to find a way to keep them in the game and just dismiss all these wackos who are like wannabe cabbies. And that's my vent.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate you calling into the Taxi Dave Show. Michael, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening, Taxi Dave. Good evening to the guest. And thank you for coming back on the radio. My comment is, back in April, we talked about the fines for the illegal hails. And we talked about if there is no enforcement, it doesn't matter what laws they put in effect. And it proved, I worked yesterday and today, there were more illegal cars on the road than there was yellow cars. There is no enforcement. Every place you stop, they jump in front of you.
And you're talking about Manhattan?
Yeah. And in Brooklyn, too.
David, you want to comment on that?
I mean, one of the things we keep asking the TLC to do is to brand the cars, just the way yellows are branded yellow and greens are green. The problem with straight plates and illegal pickups is it's very hard to enforce because most of them are just black cars. So if you branded them, if you put a stripe on them, if you put a color on them, if you change the color of their license plate, it would be easier for the police and TLC officials to know that there are illegal pickups taking place. And so we've been asking for that, and we've also asked for, we've been up in Albany asking for that as well, because the bills up in Albany for the state license that Uber is seeking, again, there's no way to stop those drivers from coming into Manhattan or into the city anywhere, because even though you may get licensed up in Syracuse or Rochester or Buffalo, drivers are going to go where the money is. And so there's nothing that stops them unless you brand the cars. unless you change something so that it's visible that these pickups are occurring that are illegal, enforcement is always going to be very difficult. And so that's part of what we've been asking for, and we think it's extremely important. And there's no reason that Uber and Lyft cars should be treated differently than yellows and greens. They need to be branded. License plate, color, something needs to be done to make it easier to spot them and enforce the regulations.
Okay, Mike. Thanks for listening and calling into the Taxi Dave Show. You have one more, Mike? Okay. All right. David Byers with us from the Committee for Taxi Safety. Here's an email from Sujan. I lost my medallion only because my cab was wheelchair accessible. No one wants to drive that car. What do you say to a guy like that, David?
Well, it's difficult. I mean, as these cars are getting onto the street, the Nissan NV200 accessible cars, drivers are starting to realize that you can actually make more money with them, and they're starting to actually make that money. You got to remember that the TLC is giving the drivers of those accessible cars 50 cents extra for every ride, just not accessible rides, but every single ride they make, every single pickup they make in an accessible car, they get an extra 50 cents. Plus, they get extra dispatch fees. The dispatch fees have been increased. So, yes, there was huge opposition to driving these cars when they first came out, but then a couple of drivers started driving them and realized that they were making a lot more money, and now the word is starting to spread that you can make more money driving an accessible car, and so we think the trend is starting to reverse, and that you're going to see that, you know, once the drivers all realize they can make more money with these cars, that they'll be able to get back out onto the street. And again, we urge the drivers to try them, and you'll find out for yourself that you can actually make more money driving these accessible cars.
So if they're making 50 cents more a fare, and let's say they can do 30 fares a day, which is a little high, I know, but I like even numbers. So that's, let's see, what is that? That's $15 a day. And if they work 5 days a week, that's $75 a week times four for the month. So it could be as much as $300 more per month just for picking up regular fares in a wheelchair-accessible cab. And in addition to that, there's also fees if they do pick up an accessible fare. If they travel to the location, the city of New York is also giving them money. Let's say they have to travel two miles. They can get $30 above the meter before they even pick up the passenger, right, David?
That's absolutely correct. And the dispatch fees were increased dramatically so that there's, you know, you don't have to deadhead back without getting paid. You get paid for picking them up. You have your fare. You get extra money for picking up the fare. You get the money for the dispatch. It's a way to make extra money. And because the Nissan is the taxi of tomorrow, the cars look exactly the same. It's not like you're driving a car that looks different, and you can earn extra money driving the accessible car.
This email's from Christine. Hi, Taxi Dave. I saw this on the E-Train. I'm going home. I wanted to draw a cat face on it. Seeing it, I wanted to get a seat and rip it down. I may be tempted next time. And she included a picture of a subway advertisement. It says, looking for a bright future? Consider us in the headlights. From a commercial licensed car will help you get on the road to earnings. Drive with Uber. Well, thank you, Christine, for that. I appreciate you saying that. Here's an email from Abe. Maybe Uber can use their autonomous cars for autonomous wheelchairs. Oh, brother. What can I tell you? We hear it all here, folks. And here's a recent one. We just got this from Pierre Jean-Jacques. Would I be able to put my medallion on a driverless car? That's Pierre. Well, we're not the ones that are pushing driverless cars. The New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission, right now, this administration has already said, as far as yellow cabs go, Pierre, that it ain't happening. Okay, it's not happening here. You know what? Let me take a commercial break. When we come back, I know we have a lot of letters. We have some more calls. Our number is 800-321-0710. Email address taxihail@aol.com. We're here with David Byers, the president of the Committee for Taxi Safety. He's been in the industry for 30 years, and he may very well be the only guy that knows more stuff than I do about the taxi industry. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show. Oh,
If the relationship that you have with your bank is the third teller from the left, then maybe it's time to rethink your relationships. At Melrose Credit Union, they believe you should get much more from a banking relationship. That's why they provide their members with a business services specialist, a dedicated individual who takes the time to get to know you and who is responsible for handling every single interaction you have with the credit union. So you can continue to wait for teller number three or head over to Melrose Credit Union. They look forward to getting to know you.
Giffen Insurance Company is located at 3601 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York. Hereford has served the for-hire industry for over 20 years. We are very proud to meet your commercial auto, workers' compensation, and fire, theft, and collision needs. Please visit our website for additional information at HerefordInsurance.com, www.HerefordInsurance.com, or contact us at 718-361-9191. Hereford Insurance, we help move New York. My father drove a yellow cab with Neil Greenbaum's father, Andy, who was the founder of All Taxi Management. FHV drivers, you can drive a yellow cab if you join the All Taxi family. Drive yellow and earn green. All Taxi Management is located at 4125 36th Street in Long Island City, and that's conveniently located near the 7 train. All Taxi is a leader in taxi leasing run by third-generation taxi experts. And for no money down, you can own a new 2016 hybrid or a great used vehicle. Whether you want to drive full-time, a day shift, or night shift, work with the folks who have a great reputation. All Taxi Management, 718-361-0055. Berlin Brokerage is one of New York's oldest and largest insurance brokers, specializing in all forms of TLC insurance. They represent many insurance companies for black cars, luxury and car service vehicles, medallion taxis, and green cabs, so you can be assured that you will get competitive pricing. You can get your TLC required liability insurance as well as fire, theft, collision, and workers' compensation coverage. Pearland can also help you with your personal and other commercial insurance. For your convenience, Pearland has 6 offices located throughout the city. To find their locations and hours of operation, visit their website at pearlandbrokerage.com. For all of your insurance needs, go to Pearland.
This is the Taxi Dave Show.
I hope you guys have an extra hour. 1 hour is really not long enough.
I'll have no voice left if I do that.
Me and my uncle went riding down South Colorado, West Texas bound. We stopped over in Santa Fe. That damn point, just about halfway. Hey, and you know it was the hottest part of the day.
Yeah, folks, Taxi Dave is back in town. Thanks for listening. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. We have a hydraulic problem with brakes on, let's see, 16,000, 650, 12, on 29,000 plus vehicles. If you own a Nissan 2016 Murano, 2016 Maxima, if you own a Toyota RAV4, 2016 Lexus RX 350, ES 350, this is the problem. The ABS actuator may have a damaged O-ring that may result in a lack of brake fluid pressure, and that may lengthen the distance needed to stop the vehicle. Okay, so that can cause an accident, folks. The recall is expected to begin on June 5th. And then here's one on over 63,000 vehicles. Toyota is recalling certain 2016 Avalon and Camry vehicles. The OCS, that's the occupant classification system that activates and deactivates the front airbags, may have been improperly calibrated. And that same problem goes for the GM recalling 2016 and 17 Silverados, Silverado 1500s, 2016 Escalades and ESV Escalades, Suburbans, Tahoes, Sierras, Yukons, Yukon XL. This is a different problem. The upper control arms may have inadequate welds on the GM cars near the control arm bushing, and that may cause the control arm to separate from the bushing. That's a problem, folks. So there you have it. All in all, we have 63,000 there, 29,000 there. So 92,000 recalls you can only hear on the Taxi Dave Show. We bring it to you. Here's an email from Tommy on your show. You give out information on the recalls. In addition to the recalls, why don't you give out taxi tips or driving tips or car tips, like what a yield sign means, how to properly use a turn signal, where to pull over, and the use of high beams. Thanks a lot, Tommy. Actually, I will consider that. Here's an email from Mr. Johnson. David Reich strikes out as much as Uber's PR department. Cute. very cute. Okay, let's take a caller. Hey, Aaron, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hey, David, how are you?
Okay.
David, the other David, too. How are you?
Hi, Aaron, how are you?
Good. Listen, my question is, why the black cars are allowed in New York City? They should ban the black car, period. They should not issue TC plates. Anybody wants to use a two-way radio, they can use it either in yellow cab or green cab.
Because so you want to go back to putting radios in yellow cabs?
Correct.
And green cabs and get rid of all the other types of vehicles?
That's where the problem is. You don't know who's driving them. The guy could be drunk last night, and in the daytime he's driving a cab. Or he could be come out of jail.
Are you suggesting that every vehicle that picks up people get a medallion and become a taxi or a permit?
I'm saying study how many cars are needed in New York, and they should all be either yellow or green. There should be no Carmel, no Dial 7, no Utah, no Communicar. What are these? They're private cars. We had to license taxi cab.
Now, there's something to sleep on and think about. Oh, that's a great idea. Ron, how long have you been in the taxi industry? Oh, we just lost him. Just dropped from the call. But thank you for calling into the Taxi Dave Show. Well, I just got notified we have less than a minute, so I want to thank you, David Beyer, president and attorney for the Committee for Taxi Safety. It was great listening to you. Hearing all the points you touched on, I think you gave our listeners great information on what's really going on out there, and I hope you'll come back.
Thank you very much for having me, and I hope it was informative.
It definitely was. Thanks to all you listeners for making us the number one talker in New York City on Sunday nights, and thanks for all you callers. Certainly appreciate it. Sorry we couldn't go to the rest. 10 seconds. Okay. Hey, taxi, get me out of here. In a yellow cab, baby. The only way to go.
The proceeding was a paid program. WOR's airing of this program constitutes neither an endorsement of the products offered or the ideas expressed.